We now have a new challenge, perhaps the most monumental in recorded history. The opportunity to investigate a phenomenon that could change our destiny. A look at ourselves 1,000 years in the future.
We're going to examine and perhaps question some widely held theories of what may have happened to this Earth of ours. We're going to investigate some strange and bizarre events in the present, unbelievable happenings as fresh as today's headlines. And more important, perhaps, we're going to take a searching and scientific look into the future. We're reaching more and more out into space. Perhaps, as we may learn, someone, something, somewhere in space is reaching out to us.
Who the visitors are, where they're from, and what they want is unknown.
Bigfoot was attracting national attention and was now rapidly becoming the most intriguing mystery on the North American continent. Scientists and photography experts have examined the individual frames of this film and have come to the conclusion that the film and the creature are authentic.
Telepathy, psychokinesis, Bigfoot and black masses, UFOs and Atlantis, Kirlian photography, cloning, and cryonics. These subjects all have one thing indisputably in common. People want to know more about them. For mankind's future on Earth and beyond.
Welcome to After Dark Radio with your host, Brian Alvarez.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on After Dark Radio. It is August 16, 2015. Here on After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Radio Network, we are here every Sunday night, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. 2 full hours of After Dark Radio here tonight. Thanks so much for joining us here this evening. Very fun show here today. I've got a stack, a mile high, of news, emails, stories, and more that we're going to get to on the program this evening. No guest tonight. The big guest rotation starts next week. Actually got a whole bunch of guests lined up with more to come, and I'm going to be getting into those here. In fact, we're going to do a preview of sorts for some of the guests here tonight, because one of our upcoming guests is not only going to be talking about Bigfoot, but he is a researcher, and he has sent us a ton of recordings, vocal recordings of Bigfoot howls. And we're going to play some of those on the show tonight when we preview upcoming guests. And I've also got a lot of other audio tonight. We're going to try some stuff tonight with audio. Trying something new here on the program. This is the first time that we are going to attempt to broadcast to you from here. 256 kbps stereo here tonight. Hopefully it sounds better than ever. And as a result of that, we're going to mess around with some audio. There is a story that I'm going to read later on tonight about an alleged haunted doll that was locked up in a glass case, and supposedly There was no way that air could get in, for example, or anything. And this researcher, I'll read the story here in a while, set up a camera to record the doll because the doll allegedly had moved in the past, apparently to try to kill its owner or injure its owner. And so a camera was set up, and at some point in the middle of the night, the doll moved. Now, I have put up a link to this video on my Twitter, which is at Brian Alvarez. So if you want to go up there and see the article for yourself and play the video and watch the doll move, you can. For those of you that are not around a computer, or perhaps you're listening to this on a replay and are unable to find the article on my Twitter, what I'm going to do tonight, sounds kind of weird because it's radio, is I am going to play the audio of the doll moving. It's radio. That's the best I can do. I can't show you a video. So I'm going to air the audio. And quite frankly, it's pretty creepy just hearing the doll moving in this glass case. So we're going to play that audio. I've also got an audio that is going to tie into one of the main stories we're going to be talking about tonight, which I got an email about that I'll read here in a moment, regarding a potential big date coming up in September. And if you've been listening to the Dark Matter Radio Network of late, probably have a pretty good idea of what I'm talking about. If not, we're going to examine it in detail here tonight. Now, because we don't have a guest, and because I can't imagine people would just want to hear my voice for 2 straight hours nonstop droning on about the end of the world and whatever. Phone lines are going to be open here tonight. Phone lines are available. We got 4 phone lines coming here into the Seattle studios, the Figure Four Empire Studios here in Bothell, Washington. I'm going to give the phone numbers out here. If you normally at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern are listening to Art Bell Monday through Friday, and you've got all of those numbers on your speed dial, those are not the numbers to call tonight. If you call those numbers, nobody is going to answer. They're totally separate numbers for After Dark Radio that patch directly into this studio here. And so I'm going to throw those numbers out here in a moment. And if you want to give us a call, you are welcome to do so. I know I've had a couple of people on Twitter already that have suggested they might call in tonight. They claim they've got ghost stories, which I would love to hear. Anything that is on your mind, my only request, I realize open lines, we have no call screener. I guess I can't really control, anything goes. However, those of you that normally listen to me talk about pro wrestling, I do this every single day, 6 days a week. I have an international radio show talking about wrestling. All I ask is if you could hold off your wrestling questions to the other show, that would be great. Try not to call about wrestling on this show. This is my one chance every week to talk for 2 hours and not have to talk about pro wrestling. I will allow the occasional call about the insanity that is this Donald Trump campaign. If you'd like to call about Donald Trump, you're welcome to do so. But please, no wrestling tie-ins on this program. You can call Wrestling Observer Live 6 days a week to talk wrestling. So hold off your wrestling questions until then. But anything else that's on your mind, I love hearing strange stories. I love to hear weird things that might have happened to you. Obviously, anything that we talk about tonight, if you'd like to comment, you're welcome to do so as well. I'm going to throw out the email address and the Twitter. In addition to that, if you are afraid to call in, and you should not be, trust me, if this is your first time listening to this show, do not fear calling in. You should hear some of the people that call into this program. Anybody is welcome. My email address, brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. My name is Brian Alvarez, so Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, @afterdarkradioshow.com. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I am @BrianAlvarez. And of course, the phone numbers, if you'd like to give us a call, open lines this evening. 4 lines, please write down the line that corresponds to you. Everybody should have 2 lines that correspond to them, because one of them, the parts unknown line, is an anything goes line. So anybody, anywhere in the known or unknown universe is welcome to call in on the parts unknown line. That number, if you are in parts unknown, is 425-398-7353. That's 425-398-7353. If you are west of the Rocky Mountains, the phone number, 425-488-0525. That is 425-488-0525. If you are east of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. That's 425-482-1686. And finally, if you are a first-time caller, you have never before called this program, the phone number is 425-398-7289. Now, like the old days of Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM, Dreamland, all of these numbers go directly to the studio here, and we have no call screener. And so what that means is, when you call, it is going to ring, 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 ring. And if nobody answers, you just got to keep trying. If suddenly the phone picks up and you hear the program, that means you're next in line. And so stand by, and when I call your line, you will know you are live on the air. And for those of you that are new to the program, let me show you how it's done. Let's go east of the Rockies. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
I have a very bizarre Donald Trump story for you.
I can't wait.
Well, it deals with Brian Ladd. He drew 3 pictures dealing with Donald Trump in the future. And first one says, third floor, 327, Donald Trump plus blast for chest pain. Has nothing to do with death on July 12, 2016, which was Belladonna.
Hold on a second. So this is 2016. So Brian Ladd is predicting that Donald Trump will have non-life-threatening chest pains next July.
And actually, it'll be before that because Pizzley's die in July.
It says that he's going to die?
Pizzley's going to be a shooting. It says, there's a better picture that says Strasburg.
Why is Brian Ladd predicting people's deaths?
I don't know. It's
even Art does not allow death predictions on the prediction show.
Well, what's bizarre is also is trying to predict the death of Jesse Ventura, and aren't they supposed to be running mates?
Well, I don't know if they're supposed to be running mates, but it has been suggested that perhaps they should run together.
I'll probably send these to your Twitter feed because maybe you can decipher these better. But he has like a feature on his page. You can search for anything that you want. Like you just type in and he has the celebrity or so. You want to search for real quick, so then pictures come up of that.
So you went and searched for Donald Trump is what you did.
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, Ryan, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. Go and send those to my Twitter, and then I can retweet those out to the world, because I'm sure that everybody is waiting with bated breath to find out what Brian Ladd had to say about Donald Trump. Let's go to the Parts Unknown line. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Grant from New Mexico.
Grant, what's going on?
Well, you know, I'm just really confused. Do you ever call that tune-in chat?
Do I ever call the tune-in chat?
No, follow it.
Follow it. No. What are they saying?
I don't know. There's something about Chaga on there all the time. Do you know what that's about?
No. And I don't even... Say that one more time.
Something about this thing about Chaga. Like, if you take this Chaga drink or something, or... I don't know, you take tea bags or something.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I don't know exactly what that would be, but that was a nice try. Let's go to the first-time caller line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Nick from Clinton, Arkansas.
Clint, what's going on?
I tweeted you earlier, I'm Extreme Vampire on Twitter about some ghost stories.
Oh, yes, the ghost story Twitter. Thank you for calling. I appreciate that, by the way.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm a big fan. A huge wrestling fan and a big fan of the After Dark show, too. I've been wanting to call with some of these stories for a while, and I finally got the... guts to call in. Actually, it's more of a Ouija board story, I guess, to start off with. I mean, I don't want to go on and on and on, but I'm 36 now, and when I was around 16, 17, me and a few of my buddies got me into, started coming around, and they were making Ouija boards out of a blank sheet of paper. And I ended up, I was curious about it, but I didn't really believe and stuff like that. And, you know, they made out a blank sheet of paper. They put it on a smooth surface, kind of taped it down, and used black or red marker, like a Sharpie, to make the letters. And, you know, and we used a quarter as the cursor, as the thing to move around. And after a while, you know, a lot of strange things, you know, kind of happened, but it kind of like, you know, blamed it on like coincidence or whatever.
Well,
like
what kind of strange things are we talking about here?
A friend of mine's remote control to his TV was missing for like at least 6 months. And we asked whoever we were talking to, where, you know, just a random question, and since, you know, we couldn't find this remote control for months, if it knew where the remote control was, and it spelled out under the bed, and we looked in the bed, and there was all kinds of stuff under that bed, you know, he never cleaned anything, and there it was, the first thing anybody saw, like, a light was shining on it, I mean, a light wasn't shining on it, but it could have been, might as well have been, and there it was, the remote, and we were kind of like, ooh, you know, weird.
That's quite the coincidence right there.
Yeah. The phone would ring and nobody would answer, nobody would be on the line. And
no, that happens all the time.
So this would go on and on and on. Finally, I got curious and I started making my own Ouija board out of paper and marker at my own house in the room by myself.
All right, let me ask you a question before you go any further here.
Yes.
why did you not just go to the store and buy a Ouija board? Since it'd probably be about $9.99. Actually, I don't know how much board games are today. Maybe $20. I mean, were you that hard up that you had to make it yourself?
It was easy access to get, you know, paper and pen and do it right then and there. And plus, the big thing was we made a pentagram in the middle of it and used our own, we pricked our own fingers and used our own blood. It was kind of, we were kind of on the borderline of satanic ritual stuff.
Okay, so you wanted but an really, even more dangerous Ouija board.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were young and stupid and...
Sure.
And
that's
so,
the definition of young and stupid, by the way, right there.
Yes, I agree. And, eventually I started doing this on my own, I'm making my own Ouija board, and I ended up talking to a spirit on the Ouija board. It was a female spirit named, her name was Sexy, that's what she said, her name was Sexy. And she ended up explaining to me she was a hooker from the 1930s and was murdered and was convinced me to help her solve this unsolved murder of hers. And I went on and on for like at least 3 months every day talking to this supposed spirit. And
so just to clear this up, she was a hooker that was looking for something from you.
Yes.
Okay, so this gets carried into the afterlife.
Solve the case of her murder.
Okay.
She was
Did she explain why you?
No, she didn't. I assumed it was only because I was trying to I was the only one contacting her from.
She had no better options, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I ended up talking to her for months, and she asked me to perform
rituals.
Like fingering her in the air. I was fingering her in the air, and at this time, the quarter would spin around in circles with my other finger as I was doing this sexual act in the air to her. I know it sounds weird, and...
It certainly sounds weird. So where did this all lead? Climax, so to speak.
Eventually, stuff started, electronics started playing by themselves, and I'm talking about tape players, not like physically, like the button to the tape player, the cassette player would push by itself, and lights would go on and off, and doors would slam and lock behind themselves. To eventually, my parents found out what I was doing. So I got freaked out enough to confess what I was doing, and they called
a priest.
They called a priest to the house and had the house blessed. And to this day, I kind of blew it off at the time because I was young, that it was just, you know, coincidence. But to this day, I'm like a total Christian. I have a Christian. I've turned Christian now, converted into Christianity. Before, I guess I was kind of like atheist, but now I'm...
So essentially you strongly learned your lesson, is what you're saying here.
Yes. It took me a while, but a lot of strange things after that had happened. And, you know, there's a lot of strange things that have happened that maybe I don't want to take too much time to explain all of them, but...
I want to thank you very much for the call. We got a whole bunch of people calling here, but I do really appreciate that one. And the phone line is going to be open every week, so maybe we'll do one story per week if you want to give us a call next time. Very, very strange. Had a incident with a homemade, satanic, he said, version of a Ouija board, and things got bad, and he has since seen the light. He is converted. He's a Christian now. Very, very interesting story. I want to thank you so much for the call. The phone lines are open. Got a lot of people giving us a call, so dial in. If it keeps ringing, just keep trying. Eventually, you will get through. We'll be taking calls for the next 2 hours here as we are here every single Sunday night, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. And on the subject of religion, I don't normally talk religion here on this program, but since he did mention that he had been converted, I'm going to read a portion of this article here, and it does kind of play in to something else strange that we are going to discuss this evening. Want sustained happiness? Get religion, suggests a study. A new study suggests that joining a religious group could do more for someone's sustained happiness than other forms of social participation, such as volunteering, playing sports, or taking a class. Study in the American Journal of Epidemiology by researchers at the London School of Economics and Erasmus University Medical Center in the Netherlands found that the secret to sustained happiness lies in participation in religion. Says here, Mauricio Avendano, who is the author of the study, said in a statement, "The church appears to play a very important social role in keeping depression at bay, and also as a coping mechanism during periods of illness later in life. It is not clear to us how much this is about religion, per se, and whether it may be about the sense of belonging and not being socially isolated." Researchers looked at four areas: volunteering or working with a charity, taking educational courses, participating in religious organizations, or participating in a political or community organization. Of the four, participating in a religious organization was the only social activity associated with sustained happiness, researchers found. Study analyzed 9,000 Europeans older than 50. Reported studied older Europeans found that joining political or community organizations lost their benefits over time. The short-term benefits from those social connections often led to depressive symptoms later on. Researchers noted it's unclear whether the benefits of participating in a religious organization are connected to being in the religious community or to the faith itself. So there you go. If you want sustained happiness, get religion. That's going to play into something we're going to talk about a little bit later on here on the show. To the first-time caller line, however, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. What's up?
Yes, my name is John.
What's up, John?
I got a weird story that I've asked many paranormal people about. No one can ever explain it.
Oh, good.
It was about 10 years ago. I was taking the garbage out, and down at the end of my driveway, what looked like a regular soap bubble, but it wasn't moving at all. And this was like a breezy day. All right? It stood there for minutes.
How big was it?
I stared at it. About 2 inches wide.
Okay, so normal soap bubble, not like a big giant orb.
No. But it was perfectly still. And have you ever seen a soap bubble float perfectly still?
I don't know if that's possible.
And it just floated there about a foot off the ground. And I stared at it for about 5 minutes. And then it shot across the street. I followed it. It stayed there for another 5 minutes, not moving. And then it shot off into the sky and out of sight.
Now, so you saw it, how far away did you get from it before you stopped and just stared at it?
A couple feet.
Was there a reason that you stopped and didn't go over there and try and get closer?
I don't know. I just looked at it. I got a couple feet away from it and I stopped and just stared. It was just weird.
Now, when it shot across the street, then you were like, okay, I'm going to follow this thing. And you followed it.
Yeah.
And did you stay the same distance away from it?
About, yeah. I got a sense that it was looking at me.
I have never heard of anything like this in my life. I'm sure that's what everybody tells you.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I mean, we've had guests on in the past that have talked about the comparisons that can be made between people that see fairies and people that see UFOs and little green men and fairies, etc. I mean, that sounds like something where if it were 200 years ago, someone would tell you that you saw a fairy. I'm not saying that you saw one. I'm just saying that I'm sure that things like that have been seen before and given various names. I have no idea what that is. I've never even heard of something like that.
Well, I might help to know when I was a kid, I saw two full-body apparitions.
In a similar location?
No, this is in the ghost ring, Cape Cod. The weird bubble thing was in New Jersey.
And what were these full-body apparitions? Every time someone says full-body apparition, I think of the ghost in Ghostbusters, since they use that same term. But what exactly did you see?
The first one was I woke up in the middle of the night, and I saw, for some reason, I thought it was my brother, but it looked nothing like my brother. And it was self-illuminated. But it was a boy. I was about 6 or 7 at the time. The boy was around my age. And he was reaching for my piggy bank.
He was reaching for your piggy bank or your piggy bank?
Piggy bank.
Okay.
And it was, I said, Joe, go to sleep. And I yelled at it, Joe, go to sleep. It turned around and stared at me for a couple minutes. And I turned the light on. It was gone. The second one was I was sitting in the living room with my entire family. We were watching something on TV, and right next to me was a hallway that led to the kitchen. And I saw a woman about 18, 19, 20 years old, full-bodied, no feet. Where the first one had feet.
Everybody says that, no feet. That's weird.
Yeah, it just was no feet. But the light on the hood above the stove was casting on her. So she looked solid, other than the feet. And she floated and then turned and stared at me. I looked at my family, and I looked back, and she was gone.
So this is 3 times now that you've seen something that you just completely can't explain. I mean, did you ever learn anything about the locations of the full-bodied apparitions? I mean, did you ever ask around and, oh, there was this child here? Or did you just, it occurred, you didn't mention it, and that was the end of that?
I told my family about the ghost, but no one believed me until I was a little kid. But what the land we used to live on was close to the Wampanoag tribe and Cape Cod. I was thinking maybe they were like settlers that could have died on the land. And I hear ghosts are attracted to children. So, you know, I used to run around the woods by myself all the time. Maybe something followed me home.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for the call. I'm intrigued. Believe it or not, I'm more intrigued by the little bubble than the full-bodied apparitions, because I've heard many people report that they've seen full-bodied apparitions, but I've never heard anything like the mystery soap bubble. Fascinating story. We're going to head to the first of 3 breaks this evening. We've got 3 short breaks this evening, and when we come back, the phone lines are going to remain open. And we'll dig deep into some of the other stories I've got here tonight. You're listening to After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez here on the Dark Matter Digital Network. We're back here on After Dark Radio. Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Radio Network every Sunday night, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific here on the Dark Matter Digital Network. Taking your phone calls here tonight on After Dark Radio. If you'd like the numbers, you can always head up to AfterDarkRadioShow.com. 4 different numbers, east and west of the Rockies, the parts unknown line, as well as the first time caller line. We're going to get in some more of the phone calls here later on. We've got more news to get into, including some discussion about what's happening in September, if anything. To the Parts Unknown line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Keegan from Canada, Ontario.
What's up, Keegan?
Nothing. I got a kind of a cool, kind of weird UFO story to share.
All right.
I was just walking down the main street of my little town here in Ontario, and it was around 7:30, 8 o'clock, so it wasn't completely dark out.
How long ago was this?
You know what I mean? Twilight kind of deal.
Was this recently?
And anyway, I see this thing up in the sky, and it looks like it's just kind of hanging there. And I live near an airport, so I I know what a regular kind of aircraft looks like in the sky. And anyway, it started to move closer to where I was standing on my main street, and it got really, really low even. It was like just above some of the buildings. And I'm looking around, because I'm kind of freaking out at this point, and no one else, and it's a really crowded main street, and no one else around me has any idea what's going on just above their heads. And eventually I'm contemplating, like, if I should call someone or, you know what I mean? Take out my phone. And eventually I got the idea in my head to whip out my phone and take a little video. But I didn't get the really cool part. What it did, it came down and it flashed three red lights, kind of in a pattern of a circle on the underneath of it. And it looked like it was just shrouded in a ball of light, like right on my main street in my town. And I call over to an older gentleman crossing the street towards me, and I tell him, you know, I'm like, sir, look up in the sky. And he turns really quick and glances at it, and he turns to me, and he says, oh, well, that's just a plane up in the sky. He maybe looked at it for a split second. And then, you know, it started moving really erratically. And then on my video I got on my phone, all you see is it goes back to the original.
Make sure you get in there close to that phone, by the way.
Oh, yeah, sorry. In the end, it went right back to the point where I saw it, and it didn't take off or anything like that. It just lowered below the tree line to where I couldn't see it. And it was very strange. It made me definitely change my point of view on a lot of things.
So in other words, what you're saying is you were not a believer, and now that you've seen this, you are a believer.
Well, it just was a chance. I always kind of believed, because I never... It just kind of made sense to me, you know what I mean? That it's obvious that we're not alone. And I had other experiences as well with flying things around in the sky, like a few craft, or I don't even know what you call them, zigzagging in the sky. And I didn't really even contemplate the ground, like what I had seen, until a couple of days later. I'm like, now I started looking into it more, and I'm like, wow, this could have been. Interdimensional beings or time travelers or you know what I mean? Like, possibilities are endless when something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got kind of a weird connection right there. You're kind of going in and out, but I want to thank you so much for that. And it's interesting when you mentioned the thought of, man, should I take a picture of it? Should I not? You always hear people say, well, you know, everybody's got a cell phone. If UFOs, Bigfoot, whatever, if all of this existed, where are the good videos? All we get are blurry, terrible videos, or we get videos that are obviously photoshopped or whatever. Like, where are the good videos? Because everybody's got these phones. And I've really been making a conscious effort lately to try to take pictures of interesting things with my phone, in the sense that we were in Alaska 2 weeks ago, and, you know, there's wildlife up there. And even last week, I was literally 1 minute from my house, and I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, these cars are stopped because three deer have come out of the woods, and they're crossing the street. And the deer one in particular was, I mean, this was a public, it was right there in the middle of the road. They weren't running, they were just walking across the street. And the moment all the cars stopped, I mean, I slammed on my brakes, I stopped the car, and I was like, dude, I gotta show my wife this. And I reach in, I grab my phone, I hit the button, I put the passcode, or I slide the thing up or whatever, I go up, they're gone. And it does not take a long time to get your camera phone ready to take a picture. And I mean, it felt like I had seen them for quite a period of time, because, you know, they're running across the street, and then one of them, like, went in front of the car, one of them went by. I'm watching all of this in my mind, but it took so long to get my camera up there that what's funny is I didn't get one photo, and it was blurry. So the fact that everybody has cell phones right now, I mean, if these supposed phenomenon, whatever they are, whether it be you saw a UFO, you saw a Bigfoot, you saw Chupacabra, whatever it might be, I mean, if these, whatever they are only in a person's field of vision for a very short period of time, it doesn't matter if you've got a phone. You're probably going to get no picture or a blurry picture. Let's go to East of the Rockies. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Steve.
Steve, what's up?
Oh, I got a story for you.
Oh, good.
We were out in the woods the other night. I was out there with my friend Envy and Jeff and G, and we were playing with a Ouija board.
In the woods?
And we were in the woods, and we were playing with a Ouija board, and it started to say, Chaga.
Okay, I got it. Yes, I have been alerted to the joke. There is a the commercial that plays during arts shows has become an internet sensation for, let's see what they have right here, Arctic Chaga, which is a sponsor here of the Dark Matter Digital Network. Apparently, it's they're getting a lot of free advertising if the calls on this program are in any indication. To the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, what's up?
Yeah, this is Chris from Compton, California.
Compton? What's happening?
Nothing much. So I wanted to talk to you about a video I saw. The video's from July 25th, 2015.
Okay.
And it's about these flying UFOs that were in the sky, supposed UFOs. And basically, the video was of one big light falling from the sky, and it kind of looks like a meteor falling down at first,
okay.
And it stops, and it splits off into three lights. Then those three lights splits off again, and it ends up being seven lights altogether. And the whole thing is the video of this lady taking it, and everybody's scared of what's this in the sky, and she's screaming for Jesus and stuff like that. Well, it turns out that it was just skydivers.
That, yeah. I was thinking it might have been fireworks, but skydivers works.
So, to me, this is my main issue. Looking at the video, the first thing I thought was, okay, I seen the headline. It was this an airplane or angels? To me, I think people need to step out of, number one, step out of this, out of some fantasy and into reality. I think not enough people know science. They don't know physics. And they don't know what it is, how things work, how things act. And something's falling from the sky, and they just see a light, or they think alien. Instead of looking at how it's falling, if it stops, okay, then how did it stop? Is it still falling? Is it still falling at a certain speed? Or it just split up? Okay, now what could this be? And the first thing that came to my mind was, it's some type of falling light. It's something that's not, it's falling with physics. It's falling at the rate of physics. For any alien thing, you see that they don't follow physics for the most part. You know, they'll stay in the air, and they'll spin, and then they'll move up or something. You know, they don't follow natural physics as far as something that's just a light falling from the sky, like a meteor or something. I think that a lot of people don't stray away enough from their natural world as far as the Bibles and all these other things. It's just crazy to me. I don't know if you saw the video before. I don't know if y'all talked about this. This is my first time calling to the show.
I've not seen the video, but you are absolutely right. And, I mean, whenever I see anything weird, which is rare, I mean, my first thought is to try to figure out what it could be. My first thought is not that it must be something. I'll give you an example. The other night, I saw a green fireball, which is very, very rare. I was washing my hands in the kitchen sink, and I looked out, and I had friends over, and I was like, I emitted a profanity, which unfortunately I can't say here on the air, but I saw a huge green fireball in the sky, and obviously my first thought was, well, that's pretty cool. I just saw like a meteor, burning up on a reentry or whatever. It's rare that they're green, but I mean, that's my first thought. Maybe it was a UFO, but my first thought was it's probably a meteor. And, I went online after that, and I did like a Twitter search for Bothell and Green Fireball. And the first thing that came up was somebody that was reporting a UFO. And it was kind of like, I don't think that's the first thing that you should suspect when you see a strange fireball in the sky. It's most likely a meteor.
I have two jobs. I work as an animator. I work at a couple studios right now, and I also work as a part-time teacher. Now, me as an animator, I have a very creative mind. I think of out-of-the-box things, and, my mind goes a lot of places. And as a teacher, my mind is set in reality, and it's also set into, looking at the science of something, how something works, and trying to explain it through the teachers that I've had and that I'm trying to put through. And I think that it's too many people. I think that we live in a human race of people who aren't on the same level as the knowledge that is in this world and as the technology that's in this world. I think people are so dumbed down and they're so stuck into probably like the 1700s mind state that, you know, they can use the technology, but they don't understand anything about it. And I think that is a big problem. You know, I think that, you know, we could never, I think that's another reason why if there is something out there, the government will never tell us about it, because we're not at the mind level to be able to handle it yet.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for the call, and I'm very, very glad you called in, because this is a great segue into one of the main stories that I wanted to talk about tonight. I'm actually going to shut down the phone lines here for a while. I'll open up them again a little bit later, but that right there is a great segue. Earlier tonight, I read this this article about how if you want sustained happiness, you can get religion, these studies suggest. And the reason I brought that up is because this study says that religion is a great way to bring you sustained happiness. However, if you are a particularly religious person, sustained happiness may not be in your future, because in your future may be the rapture, the end of the world. Which actually, I guess now that I think about it, if you're heavily religious, that might be a great day for you, because you'll be on to the afterlife, to the heavenly abode. But what am I talking about? The end of the world? Well, I got an email, and it is from Eric. And Eric here says, "Hey, Brian, what's all the talk I've been hearing on Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell about September 2015? He and callers referenced it on shows this past week, but didn't go into detail on why the internet is abuzz about it. Unless, he notes, I missed it when they went into detail about it. Could the dreaded EMP attack that Jason from British Columbia has warned us about over the last year or so actually happen?" That is from Eric in Minnesota. No, it is not an EMT attack. The claim is that, and this is all over the internet, I looked around for it here, claim is that in September of 2015, and as bad as it sounds, by the way, it's worse for me because the date, September 23rd, is my wife's birthday. This would be a very, very poor birthday present for young Whitney. I got a couple of articles here that I want to get into, and I've got some audio as well that is going to play into much of this here. This from, of all places, a interesting source, UFO, the truth is out there, .blogspot.com. 2.5-mile-wide comet headed towards Earth with chilling, hellish mystery sounds. For a while now, we have all been hearing from different sources about a coming asteroid or meteor that will wreak catastrophic damage on Earth and wipe out the United States of America. But I have a source who has confirmed to me, it says here, that a 2.5-mile-wide comet that researchers have been studying for years is headed toward Earth and scheduled to arrive between September 15, the end of Jade Helm drills, and 2 days after the end of Shemitah, and September 28th, which is another blood moon of this year, 2015. This person here says, "I agree with Tom. There are many clues pointing to a significant event possibly happening on or near the 24th of September, 2015. If an asteroid hits the Earth, it most likely will fall into the sea. The scientists are looking at the trajectory of the large asteroid heading our way, and they think it could hit somewhere in the North Atlantic. Of course, the best thing to do is plan for you and your loved ones to be away from any Atlantic beaches." Pretty sure that's the least of your problems. "During the last days of September, whether this is a real asteroid or man-made event will cause the September 2015 disaster. Either way, I believe that one or more tsunamis," it says here, "will be the result. If you're at the ocean shore and you feel the ground shake or see the tide going out unusually far, turn and run to a higher spot. Stay in a safe place. High waves of a tsunami can last for hours. We still have time to figure out how to survive and thrive. Be safe, creative, and be strong." I have more! By the way, As mentioned, September 23rd is my wife's birthday. And one thing that my wife loves and has loved her entire life is to go to Cannon Beach, Oregon. Her family has a condo there. We go there all the time. It is literally sea level right on the edge of the Pacific Ocean. And so if there is an event that is going to cause a tsunami on the west coast of America on September 23rd, I am done for. It's pretty much guaranteed. So let's hope that does not happen. This here, beware September 2015. A great deception is brewing. This person says, this is William Frederick. I know what is going to happen, and it is not what you think, he says. Scripture clearly tells us, this fellow says, that the apostasy may occur before the rapture, must occur before the rapture. And I think I know when it will start. Event is clearly listed in Scripture as occurring just before the Antichrist is revealed. You'll never guess when he thinks this is coming. That's right. I think, says William Frederick, the great falling away will start in September of 2014. He has some data, and he is going to explain it to us here. This from beforeitsnews.com, William Frederick. He says there's been a lot of chatter regarding the time around September 22nd through 24th, 2015. Many believe this will be a cataclysmic time. Some are predicting a meteor or a comet strike. Seal 6 events, the rapture, the beginning of the tribulation, and more. In the post following, I will present the data slash chatter, and then he's going to give his analysis from a scriptural basis. He says, number one in terms of chatter, a meteor or comet will hit in the Atlantic, causing a tsunami. Says many are predicting that September 23rd, 2015 will be the date that a meteor or comet will hit the Earth, causing a tsunami, the most likely location being the Atlantic near the east coast of South America. And he has got a video here. In the video, she mentions an informant tells her, this is the video creator, that the comet is 2.5 miles wide and is giving off sound. It is the singing comet 67P. Does that comet sound familiar? It is the comet that the Rosetta's lander touched down on November 12, 2014. So I guess he believes that they sent that up to examine this comet right here. There have been a lot of rumors about the comet that it may not be a comet. It may change trajectory, and it may have buildings on it, he says. It was discovered in 1969. Discovery date listed as September 2069. September 11, 69 was the day of a solar eclipse, and Elul 2829 on the Jewish calendar. He's got a lot of other numbers here, which he believes lead us to the Day of Atonement. Number two, he says, Deep Impact movie. He's got a video that shows a signal location from the movie Deep Impact for the comet to hit just off the northeast coast of South America, and he's got coordinates here. Three, the Without Warning movie. 1994 TV movie called Without Warning depicts the events of a meteor that breaks into three pieces after the world tries to blow it up, with all three pieces hitting the Earth all in about the same parallel, 43/44. Later it is discovered the meteor was sent by aliens who were following in a fourth incoming object. You notice that the first announcer is named Sandy Hill, which, oh boy, we've got a Sandy Hook tie in here. I'll ignore that one. Four, BBC's End of Day, a TV show presented five scenarios for the last day on Earth. They involved the following: meteor impact, Yellowstone eruption, pandemic, earthquakes, and CERN destroying the world. And he notes there are many September 23rd references. Time of the rapture. He believes that Project Bluebeam is involved here. He's got a link to Project Bluebeam. Some say that the date, September 23rd, is the day that the Jews will recognize Jesus as Lord. He says, number seven, the Pope's visit. The Pope is scheduled to visit the White House on September 23, 2015. So apparently 2015, September 23rd, is a very important date, not just my wife's birthday here. Number 9, Jade Helm scheduled to end. Number 10, Tomorrowland Movie, which is a Disney movie, which was scheduled to be released on May 22, 2015. The number 923 shown in two trailers. I guess the story here is that he believes that Disney is warning us in a new movie that the end of the world is coming on September 23rd. I don't know why Disney would want to hide this knowledge, but that's what he says here. And finally, there's a Tomorrow World Festival, a satanic, he says, music concert festival held in Atlanta beginning on September 25. He believes it has many New World Order Antichrist associations. Oh, and by the way, another one, which actually plays into one of the audio deals we've got here. This apparently, for those that have heard this story, one of the big tie-ins to the date of September 23, 2015, is that September 23, 2015 is day number 500 in the countdown, according to a French ambassador, as the day climate chaos begins. What is he talking about? Here are the comments from the French foreign minister, and these took place 500 days prior to the upcoming September 23rd date. Here we go.
We have 500 days to avoid the climate chaos. Very important issue of climate change, climate chaos, and we had 500 days to avoid climate chaos. And I know that President Obama and John Kerry himself are committed on this subject, and I'm sure that with them, with a lot of other friends, we shall be able to reach a success in this very important matter.
So, I guess the conspiracy theory is that almost 500 days ago, the French foreign minister, perhaps due to a tie-in with Disney, was made aware of the fact that an asteroid was going to hit the Earth on September 23rd, and he is quietly warning us here in this speech that we have 500 days until Armageddon. Now, my only question would be, and as you can probably tell, I'm somewhat skeptical. Somewhat actually would be, I'm very skeptical of this whole story. But does this sound like a man who is concerned that in 500 days, the world is likely to end? Does he sound concerned?
We have 500 days to avoid the climate chaos. Very important issue of climate change.
Sounds
climate
very calm
chaos,
to me.
I said that we had 500 days to avoid climate chaos, and I know that President Obama and John Kerry himself.
Yeah, this guy doesn't sound too concerned. I am skeptical of the claim that he is alerting us that the end of the world is near. But that is one of the main things that people have mentioned in terms of the potential end of the world. Also, day 5125. That's 5125 days since 9/11. That'd be 9/23/2015. That's 10/25 fives added together. I don't know what that has to do with anything, except it's just math. And September 23rd, 2015 is the day of the autumnal equinox, which occurs at 3:22 a.m. Again, what this has to do with the end of the world, I don't know. And a few others as well. So that is this fella here. He is, I guess, let's see what he is here. I guess Master of Divinity, is that what that means? William Frederick M.Div. Master of Divinity. But regardless, this William Frederick is certain that the end of the world is coming. Now, whether you are a fan of Snopes or not, whatever you think of this situation here, Snopes did do a fact check on this. The question, will a planet-changing comet cause climate chaos on Earth between September 15th through 28, 2015? False, Snopes says. In June of 2015, a series of rumors, some versions of which had been circulated months earlier, spread online regarding a comet purportedly expected to hit the Earth. Between September 15th and 28th, 2015, reports of comet fears appeared on conspiracy-minded websites such as, hey, how about that, Reports News, or a June 20th post quoted a YouTube description of a related video. The description here reads, Lynn Lees shares about a phone call with her friend who was given inside information about a comet expected to hit the Earth between September 15th and 28th, 2015. Almost a year ago, the foreign minister of France three times publicly announced at a White House press conference a 500-day countdown to climate chaos, which will end on September 24, 2015. They know what is coming and have already told you chaos will erupt on the planet in September 2015. Are you listening? Are you prepared? Snopes says, in that excerpt alone, a number of veracity-related red flags were apparent. The friend from whom this inside information was gleaned, and the cited phone call was not identified or described, nor was any title or affiliation provided to explain what connection Lynn Lees may have had to this news. Another YouTube video, published by user Renee M, featured narration from an individual identifying herself as Lynn Lees, and the clip was appended with a number of doomsday links. Narrator of the video referenced the Jade Helm military exercise as a factor possibly related to the comet, as well as supposedly significant references to such an event in religious texts. However, it says Jade Helm is a distinctly American conspiracy issue, unlikely to affect astronomers and physicists researching matters from outside the United States. In a June 8 article, a NASA spokesperson addressed rumors about the approach of a comet affecting Earth in September 2015, and stated definitively that no such astronomical happening had been charted. NASA knows of no asteroid or comet currently on a collision course with Earth, so the probability of a major collision is quite small. That from Snopes. And I'm sure those who believe something is coming would simply say that this is NASA. Of course they're going to lie. Doom is coming. Well, in a moment, we're going to head to a break. And when we come back, the phone lines are going to be open again. I would like to hear from you. Is the end of the world coming? Have you heard the rumors of an alleged comet heading towards Earth to make contact September 23rd, 2015, my wife's birthday? For the love of God, of all days for the world to end. Give us a call here tonight. We'll talk about it. If you think you know more, I'd love for you to try to convince me. Phone numbers coming up after the break, as well as more. Stand by. After Dark Radio here on the Dark Matter Broadcasting Network. We are back here on After Dark Radio. Brian Alvarez here. After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Radio Network every Sunday night. Midnight Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wait, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. These time zones, which actually brings me to a Twitter comment here, which is a very, very good question from Will. He says, will Doom start in UTC/GMT plus 13 hours? Will it be that time zone or a person's local time zone on September 23rd? That's a good question. If the world ends on September 23rd, is that Pacific time? Is that Eastern Standard Time? What time would that be? It's very important for me to know because, as noted, it's my wife's birthday and I got to find out when I'm going to get her gift before the apocalypse comes. We are expecting your phone calls here tonight. I'm going to throw out the numbers here. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown anywhere in the world, including if you happen to be on one of the buildings on that comet that is heading towards the Earth, 425-398-7353. First-time callers, 425-398-7289. Give us a call. Phone lines are open. We'll be going to the calls here in just a moment. Main topic, and keep in mind it's open line, so you can talk about anything. You don't have to talk about the comet, the end of the world, if you don't want to. But if you would like to talk about it, I would love to hear from you, whether you are pro or con end of the world. And anything else? We've had weird stories tonight. We've had UFO sightings. We've had mysterious, ghostly soap bubbles. The list goes on and on. give us a call. AfterDarkRadioShow.com. If you missed any of the numbers, all of the numbers are up there right now. You'll always have them. AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Let's go to the Parts Unknown line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Ali. I'm calling from PA.
Ali, what's happening?
Hey, well, I don't think it's going to end as much as I think something's going to change. Kind of something in the system. Whatever that is, I don't know. But, yeah.
So you're expecting some sort of turmoil, but you're not expecting a comet to hit, for example.
Yeah, I think it's just more of a symbolic kind of thing. But I think there is going to be maybe something underground. Not underground physically, meaning it won't be so visible, it won't be so obvious the change, I think.
But there's going to be a great change coming that will begin in September of 2015.
Well, I don't know if it's a great... I mean, I don't know. I just was listening and thinking back at some... you know, you get these videos online, so, you know, you can say they're phony or not, but you know how, like, people have in mountains already stored food and shelter, and they've already reserved spots and pods?
That's true.
It's just thinking, and I saw those years ago, you know, and for what reason? Preparation for what? I don't know. But just, you know, trying to connect things here and there. I don't think, yeah, again, it's going to end physically, but maybe some, you know how they want chips in their head, or they want some type of, I don't know where I saw this, but they well, I'll leave it at that.
Sure.
I guess I really don't know what I'm talking about, but.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, I agree that anything could happen on September 15th. My issue is with the story of a comet. The claim is that there is a comet that is 1 month away from striking the Earth. Now, if you've ever heard any of the various astronomers or scientists that have been on various programs, I mean, there are so many amateur astronomers around the world. The cost of a telescope has decreased dramatically from 50 years ago or whatever. You don't need a giant, enormous Hubble-sized telescope to scan the cosmos. And we're talking 30 days from now. Maybe somebody's got some information on this that they've seen online that they can forward to me of, oh, here's the comet. Here's the comet on the way towards the Earth. It just seems hard for me to believe that there are a very, very small number of scientists who have been tracking this comet for years, yet somehow none of the amateur astronomers who have the ability to track objects can't see a comet that is 30 days away from us. I find it very, very, I find it impossible to believe. To the phones, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, this is Ronald. I am calling from Los Angeles, California.
Yes, Ronald.
Yeah, I guess that was you that was just talking about the comet. You know, I'll tell you something. I saw on the internet, and this is what I was originally calling about, that I was looking up videos with my wife about the comet, because we're thinking about getting out of Dodge here and heading kind of northeast near maybe the, probably near Mount Shasta.
Now, where are you right now?
I'm in Los Angeles, California, and you said earlier, I heard a caller say earlier, maybe on another show, that there's a strong possibility that if we're staying on a similar timeline as C understands regarding time travel, because he's in with the group that Andrew Fasciaggio is in, that tomorrow there's supposed to be a major earthquake at the San Andreas Fault. But here's what I'm really calling about. Let's just say something is major that's about to happen, right?
All right.
And I used to work for the Department of Defense. I held a top secret clearance for 13 years. I worked at Headquarters Central Command. I worked at Headquarters Special Operations Command. I worked at Headquarters Southern Command. And what I discovered during that time was that the global military-industrial complex It's all work. They are all working together. And there are a series, there are many, many deep underground military bases that we, as taxpayers, have paid for and have every right to enter. Because the United States and all of these governments around the world are not really governments. The word government actually translates into mind control. They are corporations, and we are employees of those corporations. And we are being put into a fear state by what's going on with the military and the police. And those are all just hired guns by corporations who put them in uniforms and hand them weapons and tell them that, you know, they can't, we can't release any information to you people because of national security. And they've taken all of this important information that everybody wants to know, that we have shows about, you know, like your show, Art Bell's show, all of the shows that are trying to uncover the truth about everything. All of that information is being kept from the people. And we pay for them to keep that information from us unwittingly, because we just can't get our heads wrapped around the fact that we're being controlled by corporations that are posing as governments. And the word government means mind control. And there is a solution. And I've written about it in a book, and I've published it out on Amazon. And basically the steps are, and if I can say them, if you don't mind, because I'm going to, somebody needs to.
We're running out of time, okay, so first, let's hear them.
All right. I'll say it really fast. Basically a five-step plan. First of all, everybody is under control because they don't have their certificate of live birth. You could be hauled off to jail because you don't have the title to your human vessel. You only have a birth certificate, which is a copy. Get your certificate of live birth. Your car can be towed away because you don't have the manufacturer's statement of origin. All you have is a certificate of title. And you sign over the manufacturer's statement of origin when you buy your car, so it can be towed because you can control it. Your land can be taken away from you because you don't have the grant deed. Everybody just has a certificate of title for their property, so the banks can come in and snatch it away because nobody controls anything. And if everybody got all three of those things, and then if everybody on the planet tore up their national ID card, which would basically close these governments that are, these corporations that are posing as government, they would have no more employees. And if everybody withdrew all of their currency from the banks around the world and burned it, they'd have no way to control us financially or as these, you know, employees that they've turned us into and have been stealing from and oppressing and lying to. And now in 100 different ways, they're killing us with GMO food, nanoparticle aluminum chemtrail spraying, viruses that are being put out. I mean, you could really just search, you know, ways the government is trying to kill you, and you'd come up with probably 50 different ways. So that's the solution, and I wish people would get their head wrapped around it. Stop fearing the police. Stop fearing the military, because the police, and I'll just say this last thing, and I'll let you go. And I'll
I got a question for you, but go ahead and say this, and I got a question for you.
Okay, the police are committing commercial fraud, because when they write a citation on you, they're putting a fake name on there that's not registered with the Secretary of State to do any kind of business. So that's one thing. They're operating under a fake name, and that citation is a contract. They force you under the threat of arrest. And so if you take your citation, and that's felony, that's a felony assault with a deadly weapon, because they've got guns pointed at you and you're under the threat of arrest, and that's a duress. If you print under duress in the signature block, that contract will not hold up in a court of law, and they have to throw it out. So that's my tip. What's your question?
All right. So listen, I am very, very noisy there. I am skeptical of a lot of things, but I believe wholeheartedly that there are underground military bases, as you mentioned earlier in this call.
And you know how I know that that's a fact? And I'll answer that.
Yeah. Well, just what can you tell me about them without getting yourself in too much trouble?
Okay, the main one I know about, and I know about it because my friend Larry Hall, he built the survivalcondo.com. He bought an SA-7 Mrs. Philo in Kansas, and it's 10 stories down, and it's a survival condo. He actually built it out, got $10 million. His structural engineer helped build the deep underground military base underneath Denver International Airport, and we would talk about the structure over the phone. But one day, that structural engineer got a knock on his door, and the Secret Service showed up and said, listen, you sign this piece of paper, and if you ever speak about this again, about the deep under military, you know, the base that you're working on underground in Denver, you will disappear and your family will disappear. So you need to cease and desist right now. Stop talking about this. And it ended there. So that's what I know about the legitimacy of at least the deep underground military base underneath Denver International Airport. And it's 2.5 miles down, and it works on a mercury isotope nuclear generator, I believe two of them.
So Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. That's a lot to digest right there, but I would like to, if anybody out there has got anybody that I could talk to that would alert me more as to these underground bases, Denver International Airport, any of this, I would love to know more, because there's a lot of conspiracy theories, as noted, that I'm very skeptical of, but I firmly believe that we've got underground bases. I would like to know more about them. It's interesting you mentioned Mount Shasta. I mean, if you're going to get out of the Dodge, as that caller said, going to Mount Shasta is not the worst idea, in fact, staying in that area. Now, I don't know if necessarily you're going to get in. Supposedly there's a base inside the mountain. But very interesting. Phone lines are open if you want to give us a call. All the numbers are up at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Do you believe either the world is ending, a comet is going to hit us, or there is just big changes coming on September 23rd? Let me know. Eric here says, would time even matter when the comet strikes since it doesn't exist? Yeah, Eric's big on this time does not exist deal, which for the life of me, I've never been able to figure out. He also thanks me for going into the September 2015 internet buzz. Extreme Vampire here, who called earlier, says, I don't believe the end of the world is going to happen at all. So there's somebody who is very skeptical. Now let's see what else we've got here. My birthday, Robin says, is September 22nd and would not be pleased with any doom next month. Big Bill says minus 5 stars on the comet. Let's see here. This person is liking some of the entrance music. You can thank Keith Roland for that. And I believe that's all of the Twitter comments for now. Oh, this person can't believe we were talking sex ghosts. Indeed, we were. Robin says, tempted to call in, we had ghost activity at a metaphysical store where I worked as a reader. Items thrown, witnessed by many. Please call if you've got stories for me. I would love to hear this. Mostly I want to know what a metaphysical store is. I mean, it's probably self-explanatory, but I would like to hear more about that. See what else is in the inbox right here. Brian at AfterDarkRadioShow.com is the email. Arctic Chaga, Ryan says, is a commercial for male vitamins that plays on dark matter during Art's show. So there you go. Headbanger Mosh, he's offering a call in during the second hour. Well, phone lines are open, Ryan, if you want to give us a call. Also here, also from Ryan, my wife's birthday is also September 23rd, he said. Any chance the end of the world can happen before the 23rd? It would save me some money on shopping, and it would save my wife some disappointment. Well, it certainly would save my wife some disappointment if the world continued to turn. This person here says, the monster with 21 faces is something that I honestly find unsettling. It was a group that is still unknown who did something similar to the Tylenol murders, but that is only the start of it. Also, Noreen Ghosh, her son was kidnapped, I think, in the 70s, and to this day, I believe, they're still chasing for justice. Some of her story gets too hard to believe, but she states it all very bluntly and so sincerely. I honestly think some or all may be true, as horrible as it is. Her story is riveting, though. And I really think if you hear a radio interview from 2004, you may be fixated on her every word, as chilling as the story and what she claims and brings forth is. I got to check out The Monster with 21 Faces. I've actually never even heard of that, so I'll have to check that one out. I want to thank Phoenix Rises very much for that email. Once again, if you want to give us a call, I'm going to throw out the numbers one more time. The rest are up at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown, 425-398-7353. If you're a first-time caller, 425-398-7289. And call about anything that's on your mind. It does not have to be the comet. does not have to be the end of the world. We've had some interesting stories that people have given us here tonight, and a lot more. So let me know what's on your mind. Let's go to the Parts Unknown line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is RJ from Texas. I was wanting to know if you have heard about anything about Mount Everest, and if you think it's haunted, because there is reportedly over 200 dead bodies on Mount Everest. And because it's so dangerous, these bodies cannot be taken down. So if you ever go hiking on Mount Everest, you will likely see these bodies up there. I was wondering to know if you thought, if would you ever go, and do you think it might be haunted by anything? Because that 200 bodies, that's a lot. You know, if 200 people died at a hospital, you know, if you believe in ghosts, you would probably assume that you know, it would be haunted or anything. But I've never really heard if Mount Everest haunted by anything. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I've never heard of Mount Everest being haunted. And I was thinking during your call of, as you noted, I mean, there are a lot of locations that are said to be haunted where terrible things happen. They're usually like asylums. You know, this such and such an insane asylum, there were terrible things that happened there, now the place is supposedly haunted. Maybe a prison, that sort of thing. And as I was thinking about it, I was kind of thinking, well, you never really hear about, like, locations being haunted. But then I thought about it, and I was like, well, of course you do. Cemeteries are allegedly haunted. Civil War battlefields, Indian burial grounds, all of these places are allegedly haunted. So there, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't presume that if people died in a certain area, like on Mount Everest, it would be haunted. Now, the difference is, I guess it dying on Everest is a pretty horrible death. It's a little bit different than, for example, being tortured, murdered, the kind of deaths that normally lead to stories of hauntings. But, I mean, freezing to death is a pretty terrible way to go. So, I've never heard of that. If anybody has any knowledge of stories of Mount Everest being haunted, since there are apparently 200 bodies up there on the mountain that have not been brought down, let me know. Drop me a line. Give me a call. All of the numbers, emails, etc. up at afterdarkradioshow.com. This person here says, if the world ended on my wife's birthday, it would be my own personal hell, as I would never hear the end of it, he said. Actually, you would. You would hear the end of it that day, because it would be the end of the world. Which would be very, very bad. Wanted to go over some of the future guests here on the show, because I got some audio that I'm going to play for some of you here. Some very, very interesting audio, in fact. Audio of alleged Bigfoot howls. How does this play in everything? Well, let's go over some of the upcoming guests that we've got here on this program. First off, I want to thank our illustrious Facebook webmaster. If you go to AfterDarkRadioShow.com, there is a link to the Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/AfterDarkRadioShow. It is run by a buddy of mine, Andrew Ludsky. And Andrew is a big fan of the show, Art Bell, the paranormal. He used to love Unsolved Mysteries. And so he is the man responsible for getting leads on this program. Essentially, if you would like to hear somebody on this show, I would go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/AfterDarkRadioShow, and contact Andrew and let him know who you want to hear on the show, or you can contact him if you think you would be a good guest on this program. He, in turn, and myself as well, transfer all of these to my other buddy, Kenneth Anita, and he is responsible for actually booking all of the guests. And Kenneth has been helpful enough to put together a list of upcoming guests. I'm going to read a couple of these here. I'm going to play some songs, and then if you're waiting on hold, we'll get to you on the phone here in a little while. Upcoming guests on the program. On August 23rd, we're going to be joined by W.C. Jameson. W.C. Jameson will be on the show August 23rd, which is next Sunday night. W.C. Jameson is a professional treasure hunter and author of more than 70 books. His books include Lost Treasures of American History, Unsolved Mysteries of the Old West, and a memoir, Treasure Hunter, a memoir of caches, curses, and confrontations. That's up at wcjameson.com. August 30th, we're going to be joined by David Ellis. David Ellis is a member of the Olympic Project. The Olympic Project is an association of dedicated researchers, investigators, biologists, and trackers committed to documenting the existence of Sasquatch through science and education. Through comprehensive habitat study, DNA analysis, and game camera deployment, our goal is to obtain as much information and empirical evidence as we can, with hopes of being as prepared as possible when and if species verification comes to fruition. Our studies are conducted in a non-invasive manner with respect and sensitivity to probable habitat we believe this amazing species inhabits. I'm going to read the final two guests, and I'm going to play some of this audio that he's captured on the Olympia Project, or the Olympic Project. September 20th, we'll be joined by Rodney Asher. He is the director of documentaries Room 237, which documents several of the conspiracy theories surrounding the film, including that it proves Stanley Kubrick filmed the fake moon landing. That will be a very interesting guest, because I do not believe the moon landing was faked. And so Rodney Asher is going to be on the show on the 20th. And September 27th, big guest, Aphrodite Jones, host of True Crime with Aphrodite Jones, an investigation discovery. She is the author of several books, including The FBI Killer, The Embrace, A True Vampire Story, and All She Wanted, which was turned into the film Boys Don't Cry. Aphrodite Jones on the show September 27th. David Ellis has provided us a little bit of audio. This is alleged Bigfoot howls and more. I'm going to play one of these, and we'll play more when he ends up on the show coming up here in a few weeks. This is a howl. It's going to play three times on a loop. Let me know what you think. I don't know what that is, but that does not sound like an animal. It sounds like a human. But I don't think a human's making that noise, so what do you make of that? Those of you that might have been out in the woods, have you ever heard a sound quite like that? Let's play it one more time. This is a howl, part of the Olympic Project, searching for Sasquatch. Here we go. There you go. Maybe I'll play more tonight, but we got certainly more to play when we are joined here in just a couple of weeks by David Ellis of the Olympic Project. On Twitter, Big Bill's Radio says, Jesus is going to be a guest on September 23rd. Hey, Fitz a Rapture, I'd love to have him on one time before the end. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'll get Kenneth on that one. Let's go to the phones west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. It's Ryan in Northern California. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
I'm really looking forward to hearing Jesus on After Dark Radio. That would be great.
That would interview. Be a hell of a guest, so to speak.
I think that would be tough. Hey, in line with talking about future guests, I'm surprised you haven't brought up Art's guest for tomorrow.
I actually don't know Art's guest for tomorrow. Who is it?
Joe Rogan.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's going to for us crossovers that that listen to both After Dark and your other radio, it's going to be a pretty good show. Wanted to get the word out to everybody who doesn't listen to Art to maybe take a listen to tomorrow, because I can only imagine what Joe and Art can drum up, especially with Art's rule of no bad language. That's going to be fun to keep Joe PG.
Well, luckily Art's got a dump button, which he... Well, you know what? Listen, when Joe Rogan has to do commentary for a Fox Sports 1 show, he's got to go 3 hours without any profanity. So I think it will be possible.
I hear you. All right, thanks, Brian. Great show. Looking forward to the guests. Barack's doing a great job getting you good guys coming in the future.
All right, well, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate that. How about that Joe Rogan tomorrow? That is quite the catch for Art. Man, wish I could get Joe Rogan on the show. I think I've had him on talking about mixed martial arts, but not the paranormal. Well, man, if he's going to get Joe, I'm going to start getting... I'll get some guys on here that may have a tie-in. But we'll try not to talk about pro wrestling or mixed martial arts. But we'll get personalities that may have had some stories of that nature. We are going to head to our final break of the evening. We're going to be back in just a moment. We'll take phone calls. I still got a ton of stories here, including this murderous puppet that apparently moved around on its own. The link is up on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. All of that and more coming up in just a moment here on After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Broadcasting Network. We are back here on After Dark Radio. Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Radio Network, every Sunday night, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern, for 2 full hours. If you normally listen to Art Bell Monday through Friday at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern, here you go, Sunday nights. We've been talking all sorts of fascinating things tonight. Is the end of the world coming on September 23rd? That has been a hot topic of conversation. I've also got some audio. We played some alleged Bigfoot audio. I'll play it again here in just a moment. And I don't know what good it's going to do, but I got audio of a haunted doll. It looks a lot better if you watch the video. The video is up on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. And BrianAlvarez.com, AfterDarkRadioShow.com. I believe they all go to the same place. But check out AfterDarkRadioShow.com for the phone numbers. We have open lines from now until the end of the program if you want to give us a call. Not going to go over the numbers again, but they're all up at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. 4 lines. Very, very difficult to not get through if you keep trying. So give us a call here tonight. I'm going to get into the haunted doll here in a moment, but a couple of Twitter notes here first. This person here on the Bigfoot audio, Eric says, the Bigfoot audio sounds like a man yelling something in a cave. Or is that just me? Al here says, sounds like Bobo. You're talking about the howl? Bobo does some good howls. Tina here says, you should get Les Stroud on your show and talk to him about Survivor Man Bigfoot. I would love to get Les Stroud on the show. Andrew or Kenneth, if you're listening, if you could set that up, that would be awesome. Particularly since he heard weird sounds in Seward, Alaska, and I was just in Seward 2 weeks ago. So I would, I'd love to talk to him. Extreme Vampire says, I don't know if you ever heard the Elisa Lam story. It's a fascinating story. I think you could devote an entire show to it. I haven't devoted an entire show, but we did talk about it when it first happened. I would love to have somebody on to talk about it if there was an expert on the case, which I don't think there is an expert on the case, but if you want to Google it, everybody, it's very, very weird. A lady who was acting very, very strangely in an elevator, her body was later found on the top of like a water tanker or something like that. It's very, very weird. Elisa Lam, if you want to Google it, E-L-I-S-A-L-A-M. It was all over the internet 2 or 3 years ago. I remember Art was talking about it before he was gone from Sirius Satellite Radio. It was one of the shows that I had been listening to right around that time. I do recall that. And yes, Joe Rogan is in fact going to be on the show with Art tomorrow. Quite a catch. Way to go, Art, for that one there. Let's play this Bigfoot audio one more time, then we'll get into the audio of the haunted doll. I play this audio because the man who recorded it, David Ellis, member of the Olympic Project, is going to be on the show here in just a couple of weeks. He actually has sent me probably about 16 audio clips, but this is a pretty good one here. Here we go. I don't like those sounds in the woods. That is the worst, is when you hear the weird sounds in the woods that you can't identify. Let's go to the phones. The first-time caller line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Orlando, Florida.
Hello, hello.
Hello?
Hey, what's up? I can hear you now.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm calling in from Orlando, Florida. My name is Jimmy.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, not much. No, I just had a story, a ghost story, recently that just happened about in the beginning of July. And I have a cousin, and he said one night he was sleeping, and he kept on hearing this whining noise coming from the kitchen area in the house. And it actually woke up his wife and his baby daughter. And as he was walking around the house, he didn't notice anything at all. He thought maybe it was an AC unit rattling. But they went back to bed and they kept on hearing the noises again.
Now, was this whining like a dog whining, like a child whining? Did he kind of explain what it sounded like?
Yeah, he actually said that it sounded like an old lady crying.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, more of that type of whining. And but that night they didn't experience anything. But the next day, his dad was in town, was staying with them, and his dad was like, "Well, I heard a couple things last night. It sounded like some type of whining." And he was like, "Yeah, you know, I heard the same thing too." So after that day, they didn't think nothing of it. And that same night, the second day, they kept on hearing this noise, the same noise. So he got up again. He said it was close to about almost 4 in the morning. And when he stepped into the kitchen, he seen this blurry image just sitting down with head face down on the table. And he froze, and the whining was getting louder and louder. Like the old lady, it's like an old lady, he said, was like crying. And he whispered the name of Jesus, and then this entity or whatever it was just smacked the table real hard, like really, really hard. And it kind of just spooked them out, and it just disappeared from in front of him. And he woke up his wife. They kind of freaked out, and they were talking about it. And they're actually into a lot of paranormal things. That them two, they share a lot of experiences. And she worked in the hospital. She's seen angels before. She's seen deaths before. Like,
she's seen angels?
Yeah. Yeah, she said she claimed that she's seen angels at hospitals. She was working as a nurse at night.
Wings and the whole nine yards?
She didn't get to more of like wings, but it's more of like illuminated.
Sure.
Very bright. Can't really tell the face. But also, they seen death, the Grim Reaper, or whatnot. She said she would see a dark, dark, clouded image would just walk across the hallway or just leave a room, and she said that she's always been experienced that since she was a little girl. But back to my cousin, so that second night, their dad was mentioning about how there were things in the room that were making little noises, some creaking noises. It sounded like somebody was walking in the room while he was in there. But, you know, again, he didn't pay no mind to it because he's not really into no ghosts or any other thing as far as paranormal. But the third night, as they were sleeping, the whining noise was getting louder and louder. So he got up again, and he got his wife up this time. This time his wife actually heard it, so them two started praying together. And as they were praying, they went back to bed, and he kind of felt like as if someone sat on the bed while he was laying down. And once he turned his head, he said the lady that he saw in the kitchen was standing in his room. And the face was all down. He couldn't tell the face of the ghost. The hair, he couldn't really tell the hair color because it was kind of blurry. But he can definitely tell that it was like an old woman. And as he started mentioning the name of Jesus again, it kind of just grabbed the sheets and kind of yanked it. And then ever since then, that was about the beginning of July, ever since then, his little daughter, which is about 4 years old, she only gets to sleep probably like 1 to 2 hours per night. And she hasn't slept ever since then. And it's just something that, you know, I just wanted to share because listening to all these ghost stories, and that's like the most freakiest one that I've heard of, or because family member that told me so.
Yeah, this is horrifying. So, a couple more details here. The how old is the daughter that hasn't slept since this happened?
4 years old.
4 years old. So isn't this like concerning that she's not able to sleep?
Yeah, it actually is very concerning. He's actually trying to seek some type of help. He tried to come up with some natural remedies as far as like some tea, anything as far as like melatonin, anything to try to help her out, but she just cannot sleep whatsoever. And she's always going into this stare. It's like a dazing stare. And everything that they try to do hasn't worked. He even mentioned about trying to get like a pastor or someone just to pray over her.
Has the child mentioned seeing anything else?
No, not at all. No, nothing at all. She barely even speaks, and nothing at all. As far as I know, that he told me. Maybe it's something more personal, because with a child, maybe he didn't mention anything about that. But it's just as far as the baby hasn't slept in a while, for about a month or so, barely any sleep, and now it's like just kind of haunting him, like the thought of that thing was in his kitchen and crying and still not knowing or having a clue whatsoever what it was. It just, what really got to him is the fact that his dad actually heard it too. It wasn't just only him.
What happened right after the sheet got yanked? I mean, did it disappear after that?
It disappeared. It basically just, it didn't literally yank the sheets off him, but it kind of tugged on the sheet. Once he finished praying and he turned around, it tugged on the sheet and he said, the name of Jesus, and it basically just disappeared.
And he hasn't seen anything since?
He hasn't seen anything since, but the only thing that's concerning him now is just the fact that his child is asleep. Yeah.
Man, I want to thank you so much for the call. That was, I don't want to say it was like an awesome story because it's terrifying, but please keep in touch and let me know how this goes over the next couple of months, and let me know if they figure out anything for the poor four-year-old that hasn't been able to sleep more than 2 hours a night. Now if I hear any whining downstairs, I'm going to have a heart attack. How about this haunted, monstrous, murderous, alleged puppet here? Jane Harris, a paranormal investigator who has been investigating haunted puppets and dolls for nearly two decades, claims this is footage of a puppet that allegedly attempted to murder its prior owner, moving around on its own. The puppet previously belonged to a man named John, who is not revealing his full name, who had inherited it from his father after he passed away. He claims that soon after acquiring the puppet, he woke up one night with the feeling of hands choking his neck, while the puppet sat nearby on a dresser by his bed. After that, John gave the puppet to Harris, who had been performing experiments on it before obtaining the footage. In it, you can see the puppet's operating cross move from inside a supposedly sealed and blessed cabinet in the middle of the night. Harris spoke to the Daily Mail. Always a good indication of the accuracy of his story, it notes here, about the haunted puppet. He says, quote, "A medium said the spirit attached to the dolls is an old man who is mocking us, as he can pass in and out of our sealed box. The container is only a physical thing, so in theory, something that is not of the physical world could pass in and out. Since obtaining him, there have been strange bumps and knocking sounds, but nothing we could definitively say was the puppet until this video." Now, on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, is the video. You can go up yourself and see the footage of this haunted doll allegedly moving. This is, of course, a radio show, and so I cannot play a video here on the program. But what I can do is I can play audio. So what you are about to hear is the sounds of this haunted doll moving in a locked cabinet. It's a lot of movement right there. For those who have not seen the video, the doll is just sitting there in the cabinet, not moving. You hear one little click, which I'm not even sure what that click might be, and then bam, the wooden cross falls. Play it one more time. Once again, the entire video is up on my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. What do you think it is? I don't know what it is, but when I look at it, looks like gravity. Looks like something just fell down. I mean, we've seen it a million times. You've been somewhere, and all of a sudden, something that was balanced precariously just all of a sudden falls. That, to me, is what happened here in this video, but others believe it is the movement of a haunted doll. What do you think? It's up at Brian Alvarez right now, so head up to my Twitter and check it out. There's some pictures of the doll as well, which if you're not a fan of haunted dolls, I would not look at. This person here says, Keith says, that doll has devil eyes. See what else we've got here. Extreme vampire. I have to take 5 different sleeping meds and other antidepressants because of all my paranormal experiences as well. There's another person having sleeping issues. Now, this person believes that Bigfoot audio sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger's battle cry from Predator. Zordon here says, I think Jesse Ventura did an episode on his conspiracy show about the underground bases. Actually, you know what? I think I vaguely remember watching like part of that, but I don't think I watched the entire thing. Once again, if you want to check out the haunted doll video, you can check it out up there at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. By the way, if you go to mysteriousuniverse.org, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but you can read about an Indonesian game called Jelangkung, which plays out like a mix between a seance and a session of the Ouija board, with the addition of freaky little dolls thrown into the mix, during which players attempt to draw ghosts or spirits into specially made dolls in order to communicate with them. The creepy Indonesian game of possessed dolls. A game that I won't be playing anytime in the near future. I don't like haunted dolls. Don't believe in them, but as they say, better safe than sorry. Why push your luck? You know what I mean? Why push your luck? That's my take on the whole scenario. Keith also says, I think there is a mouse inside the doll. That's as good a theory as any. I thought this was fascinating from theepictimes.com. Plane said to vanish, reappear 10 minutes later. Time slip? About 40 years ago, a passenger plane is said to have vanished as it pulled in for landing at the National Airport, now known as the Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport. Emergency crews were quickly called in, the assumption being the plane had somehow gone off course and perhaps crashed near the airport. As emergency vehicles gathered on the runway where the plane was last seen, it reappeared overhead. 10 minutes had passed, and the plane reappeared in the precise location it had vanished. The clocks on the plane, including passengers' watches, were all 10 minutes behind. To the people on the plane, those 10 minutes had never passed. As they looked out on the runway while the plane made its descent, it seemed to them that a group of emergency vehicles had appeared out of thin air. The purported incident was investigated by Martin Kaden. Kaden was an aviation and aeronautics expert who was often consulted by NASA for his extensive knowledge of the space agency's history. He was also a science fiction writer. One of his most famous works was Cyborg, which was later adapted for television as The $6 Million Man. Men in suits, not men in black, he said with a laugh, but men in suits, quickly filed onto the runway, boarded the plane, and took control of the situation. Before his death, Kaden shared unpublished details of investigation with parapsychology expert Lloyd Auerbach. Auerbach told Epic Times that men in suits Not Men in Black, quickly filed in and to control the situation. Thought I just read that line. If this, maybe I had a time slip. If the time slip really happened, what could be the explanation? This idea of time slips, it's not really paranormal, said Lloyd. It would be on a physics level. The whole concept seems to be that time is fluid. Hope Eric is listening. We actually don't even know what time is. We know that time is relative to experience. For example, changes in velocity and gravity can affect time, yet this happens under very unusual circumstances, and time isn't affected that much. It would still require much further explanation for a normal event like a plane landing to cause a change in time as significant as 10 minutes. I would love to interview Lloyd or anybody else who can talk to me about time slips. Very, very fascinated with that. And one more story before we got to go here, because this is one of my absolute favorite subjects, animal intelligence. Study. Apes may not be that far away from talking. Ever since the 40s, when a couple attempting a rare pair of chimpanzees like children failed to impart the ability of speech, scientists have assumed language to be a uniquely human evolutionary adaptation. The thinking went that apes have little to no control over vocalizations and breathing-related behaviors, except Sasquatch, of course. What sounds they do make, researchers posited, are largely involuntary. But a new study by Marcus Perlman, now a postdoctoral university researcher at the University of Wisconsin, suggests apes aren't as far removed from the ability to speak as scientists think. For several years, Perlman studied at the Gorilla Foundation in California. Much of his time was spent observing Coco, 40-year-old gorilla who famously learned sign language and has spent her life interacting with humans. While working at the foundation, Perlman noticed Coco seemed to have more control over her breathing and vocal cords than one would suspect. In reviewing hours and hours of footage of Coco's vocalizations and sociable behaviors, Perlman and his research partner, Nathaniel Clark, at the University of California, identified 9 different voluntary behaviors requiring Coco to exercise control over her vocalization and breathing. When she wants a treat, she blows into her hand. She can also blow her nose and play wind instruments. When she wants a clean glass, she breathes heavily on the crystal before wiping it off, and rather playfully, she sometimes makes a series of unintelligible grunts while pretending to talk on a toy phone. She doesn't produce a pretty periodic sound when she performs these behaviors like we do when we speak, but she can control her larynx enough to produce a controlled grunting sound. So they believe that Coco is proof some of the abilities that enabled speech to evolve in humans were present in apes. He says Coco bridges a gap. She shows the potential under the right environmental conditions for apes to develop quite a bit of flexible control over their vocal tract. It is not as fine as human control, but it is certainly control. And there you go. Perhaps at some point, apes, like in Planet of the Apes, will really speak to us. And hopefully not take over the world if the world continues to exist after September 23rd, 2015. We're going to get ready to wrap up the show. I got a couple of notes for everybody before we go. First off, I recommend everybody head up to AfterDarkRadioShow.com. If you're listening live, and maybe it's your first time, head up right now, and you can download the August 9th, basically last week's show. We had Steven Stroyford on talking Bigfoot. It is a free download right now at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Go up there now if you're listening live and download it. In about 15 minutes, it's going to be replaced with this show. Every week's show stays up there for a week before a new show goes up. So head up there and grab the Steven Stroyford show while you can. After Dark Radio Show, it's a place to go to get the phone numbers, email address, Twitter, Facebook address. You can contact me at any time during the week. I try to read as many emails as I can on the program. Sometimes we got a lot of things going on, so I don't have a chance to. Obviously, if you are a fan of this show and you want our full archive, I think we have over 100 shows archived. You can grab those as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. Make sure you head up there and check that out. It's $10.99 a month. If you're a wrestling fan, it's a great deal. If you only want After Dark Radio, it's kind of expensive. But if you love the show, maybe it's worth it for you. Every show we've ever done is up there at WrestlingObserver.com. But again, this week's show free at AfterDarkRadioShow.com, so spread the word. We are here every single Sunday night, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope it sounded great. We tried a new delivery system here. Hopefully it was high-quality stereo. Hopefully it was the best quality that we can give you. I actually don't think we can bump it up any higher. This is about as good as it's going to get. I hope it sounded great for everybody. Don't forget, tomorrow and every weekday, Art Bell, Midnight in the Desert, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern, Monday through Friday for 3 hours. Joe Rogan will be joining him tomorrow, which sounds like an awesome show. Check that out. Subscribe, become a time traveler, support Art and Keith. Without Keith, there would be no Dark Matter Digital Network. So every now and then, drop him a line and just tell him thank you for everything. Obviously, my huge thanks to Keith, and of course, everybody involved with the program, all of you, the callers and listeners. I do appreciate all of you, and we'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks so much for listening. After Dark Radio here on the Dark Matter Digital Network.